Welcome to Smalley Marriage Radio. This is your host, Michael Smalley, along with
Amy Smalley.
And you're a host.
I'm a host.
And yes. We are on our sixth episode of the very enticing, delightful, magical Tonight series, which is an honest, overt, real conversation about how to experience the greatest sex of your life. Now, for the ladies listening on this podcast, I'm going to let my South African friend by the name of... I've had him once before on this podcast. Mm-hmm. He made a debut. And I happen to believe that the South African accent is the sexiest accent on earth. So I not only have Marius joining us on our show, but we have his lovely wife, Gilda. No, I meant Gilda.
Yes.
Sorry. So Marius, would you mind just reading the title of today's show?
Indeed, I can.
I love it.
It is The Biggest Killers of Sexual Intimacy and How to Eliminate Them.
Woo!
That's pretty good to me.
And Gilda.
Yes.
You two are some of our best friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how.
Some.
I'm still trying to think that one through. But I'm just curious, because you're one of the craziest people I know. So what is it you'd like to say, just to introduce yourself to our tens of dozens of listeners?
Tens of dozens of listeners.
Hi there, my name is Gilda.
Gilda.
And I am Marius's wife.
How long have you guys been married?
We've been married for 13 years now.
Yeah.
And I heard you guys haven't had sex in 12.
I thought it was 13.
13 hours.
I thought it was 9
hours.
Yes, there you go.
So we've been doing this series, as you both are well aware, because I know you're avid listeners to our podcast.
I am.
Marius.
Yes.
Marius indeed has never listened. Oh, the only episode Marius has ever listened to is the one he premiered on.
Yes.
Thank you for the truth.
Yeah. So we are actually, this is our last episode to record from South Africa.
Oh.
And we are in Marius and Gilda's home.
Yes.
Where we have become very close friends with your two dogs, Lola and Leela.
Leela,
yes.
Who are what kind of dogs?
Staffordshire.
Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
Ah. These are like the coolest dogs I've ever known in my life.
Michael, you get very distracted very easily, don't you?
I do.
We're sitting here talking, and you see the dogs, and you're like, dogs.
Dogs. Squirrel.
Leela.
So, all right. So, as Marius already read, today's episode is about the biggest killers of sexual intimacy. So, previous to this, Marius, we had the top 10 ways to hack your husband's sex drive. Oh, yeah. You'll want your wife to listen to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you already listened to it, Gilda?
No, I saw it and I
and you ignored it.
No, I didn't. I read
you saved it.
Yes,
right?
I did. Oh. And I liked it on Facebook. So if you just go and see, you'll see that I liked it. So I'm saving it for later.
Very supportive. And before that, Marius, it was the top 10 ways to turn your wife on.
Oh.
Let me tell you, you want to get that little hyper engine over there started.
That's good.
All right, so here's the deal. What we've always told people, Amy, for years, is typically, what's the biggest killer of a less than satisfying sexual intimacy for a married couple?
Well, it's the emotional health of your relationship has a tremendous importance. You know, a lot of times people will say, and we've said this before, about how you need emotional intimacy and physical intimacy. And so this emotional intimacy and to feeling loved and feeling connected is absolutely a paramount to having a great sex life.
Well, and people probably know this, but I'll remind them that your sexual health or life or intimacy on how positive or negative it is a great thermometer to how your emotional life is going. So if you're not as satisfied with your sex life, oftentimes that'll point to a problem in your emotional life with each other. So today we're actually going to give you some very specific killers of sexual intimacy. And I mean, because there's more than the three that we're going to highlight, but I'd probably call these the big three.
Okay, the big three, because there's the big five.
Can we give you the extra two?
Yeah.
From Africa.
So Amy is mentioning, we'll put this one to our South African friends. Mm-hmm. What is the big five in South? Like, what does that even mean? What animals constitute?
Do you know them?
Yes.
Can you name them?
The lion.
Okay, that's one.
The elephant.
Elephant.
Rhino.
Rhino.
Buffalo.
What kind of buffalo? Oh, awkward.
It's not just
African buffalo.
A wild buffalo.
Cape buffalo.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And?
Do you know them?
I do.
That's your favorite one.
I've been coming here for 13 years, and I've never seen this fifth one, and I saw it on this trip.
I know you did.
The leopard.
The leopard.
Yep. Yeah.
You do know that you get a small five?
No.
But we're not going to go into that because
it's not an episode about the big five or the small five.
You can Google it.
Really? There's the small five?
Yep. Yes.
Wait, if we I Google this, am I going to find inappropriate search results?
Yeah, you might.
Yeah,
but
just sip through them.
Sip through them.
We're talking about insects.
Oh,
for the
talking about sexual intimacy.
Yeah, wow.
That's another insect.
Yeah. No, all right, good. So there's three we're going to highlight on this show.
Yeah.
And then we're going to ask Marius and Gilda how they're doing on these.
Ooh.
And just lie. And make yourselves sound healthy.
Yeah,
we weren't even prepped for this.
No.
Oh,
they were totally unprepped for this.
Mm. They just, yeah.
Or you can just make inappropriate comments as you feel
probably
the need. I think that's why Marius and I get along so well. I'm actually now a little terrified.
No.
You should be.
I'm here. And Gilda's here. So we'll rein you guys in.
How about this?
Mm-hmm.
We'll let Gilda read the first one.
Okay.
Just what the like one of the specific killers of sexual intimacy, which is right here. I'm pointing to the note. Do you see that word? Now, their native tongue, just so everyone understands, is what I call Africana.
Africana.
But what would you guys say? Afrikaans?
Afrikaans.
Afrikaans.
All right. Okay. So, have you seen this word? Can you pronounce it?
Let's see.
Okay, so number one, read by Gilda, is?
Invalidation.
Woo!
Very good.
She can read.
She can read.
It's amazing.
It's hard, though.
Teacher, I think she can read.
Well, okay, I think we all know what happened when I tried to read their 12-year-old's math book.
that
was funny. It sounded like it was awful.
It was like a mix of an angry Hitler
it was.
And a drunk Dutchman.
You could do a whole show on that.
I probably could. So invalidation is kind of one of the big killers of sexual intimacy. Mm-hmm. And Amy, this is one of your big things that you like to teach people.
Right.
So what is invalidation?
Invalidation is really you when someone has a feeling or a need or something, they feel like who they are, that they're not appreciated or they're not accepted or they're rejected or they're devalued. All those things, their deepest part of who they are is just null and void. It's just invalid.
So, like, a good example would be maybe I come home and I go to Amy and I'm exhausted. Maybe I had a really hard marriage intensive with a couple and I just come in. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted. This couple was so hard. And then Amy's response would be, what would be a good invalidating response?
Oh, just get in there and let's have sex.
That is the greatest invalidating response in the history of mankind.
No, I was thinking about like the reverse happens probably more than anything.
I don't even know what to do.
I'm
stunned.
Just go for it.
I am stunned. We are now going to pause this podcast. Amy and I will go into the room. Give me 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
But seriously, when you go in and you might share something and what you
like, I had an exhausting day. So invalidate me. Do it.
You would say, "Oh, your day had nothing compared to mine.
Yeah,
my day was even terrible." And la la la. And you basically turn the tables, or you might
just totally be dismissive, like really. It must be so hard.
Well, the one day a week you have to work and you're
it's getting a little personal.
Get over it.
Get over it. Yeah.
So when you're invalidating to each other, that's a major sexual intimacy killer. Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, mm-hmm. Gilda, do you ever experience invalidation from Marius?
I have to be honest.
This is why I wanted to be a part of this. Yeah.
I think all of us at a stage.
Smart. She's a smart lady.
Because I know I found myself sometimes doing the same with him. So
she is a whippersnapper.
No, so I. Funny enough, when you feel like someone is not validating your feelings or where you are at that moment, it kind of made me look out for times where he might want validation and I didn't give it to him. So now I try to get him now to see that sometimes I need validation of things that he might not think is necessary.
I'd be curious.
Yes.
For both ladies, is it a little bit of a turn on when your husband, i.e. me and Marius, do actually validate you?
Yes. 100%.
We just want to say we hear you.
Wow.
And we understand.
Yeah. Look me in the eye.
I feel so validated.
Yeah,
right,
that's
now.
It.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so invalidation is kind of the first big killer. The second one will be read by Marius, which is?
A lack of affirmation.
Whoa. That's a biggie. So lack of affirmation is obviously you're not affirming, so you're just not being positive with each other.
Right. I know when
or
we've
kind.
Got, well, even when kind with each other, but I even think about when you're in a funk and you're just thinking everything, everything that you're doing is irritating me. I'm thinking, oh, you're just so irritating. Mm-hmm. And then when I think, oh, you're just so irritating, then you're thinking, oh, she's so gripey. And, and there's a lot of this, the opposite of affirming,
Yeah, and I actually think that lack of affirmation leads into the third one, which is negative beliefs.
Absolutely.
So I think when you're not actively pursuing each other to affirm and to go, hey, I appreciate you, and oh, my gosh, thank you for doing that, and hey, what can I do for you? Then you're stuck on the negatives, and then those negatives turn into the third, which is those negative beliefs, which we've talked about before on our shows. But the negative belief is exactly as it sounds, which I just realized you were actually, Gilda, supposed to read the negative belief one off, and I totally stepped all over your opportunity. So Gilda, what is the third one?
Negative beliefs.
Oh, nice. So
can I say something on that? Mm-hmm. Just recently, we had a chat, and I just kind of wanted to share with him how I thought of what I felt about something that happened. And while we were just sitting down and talking through it, we both realized that what I thought what the situation was about and what actually happened was two different things. So negative beliefs is a big, big, big thing. So unless you communicate to one another, you're going to get stuck in there and you're going to keep on believing something that is just going to be very destructive.
Here I thought that Marius was a traditional tough guy Afrikaner.
You're often wrong.
I'd be curious, did you feel like that was a good conversation?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And how did you guys get to the place of understanding? Like, did you kind of just keep it calm? Did you... being kind?
When you do speak about that, you should be in a good place.
Yeah.
Where you will be able to talk to each other and not get angry or walk out or anything like that. So
that's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if it's a safe place, if you're in a good place with each other, that's a great time to actually do that.
But when you're not in a good space.
Those are two bits of really good advice to be able to communicate about it. But then if it's something that could be negative, make sure you're in a good place.
And I think that goes back to when you're, how do you know you're in a good place? When do you talk about it?
When you're having sex.
Stop. That's not
during.
No, but you know, obviously not, you know, when you're trying to rush out the door or something like that.
Or when you're upset.
No.
Or when you're in the hype of that being upset. Mm-mm. You have to, and what I love about what you were saying, Gilda, is it seemed like you thought things through and you're kind of like, I wonder if I was wrong. I, you know, we need to talk about this because I could be wrong. And one of the things
don't start jumping to the solutions and eliminations.
No, but what I love about what they're talking about and what they're alluding to as well is Gil, you have a belief, a positive belief about Marius that, okay, he does love me, he does care for me, he does, you know, and when you have that, that sets up the conversations to already have, even when you're mad, you might not be able to focus in on that. You might just be focusing in on your hurt.
Yes.
But if you give yourself some time, then you're more willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. You're more willing to say, oh, okay, he does love me. And okay, I know maybe he might not have meant that. Mm. Or, you know, and then you talk about whatever it was and you're able to say, oh, that's not at all what I thought it was.
I think it's important to keep it light and not call a need to speak to you.
A meeting.
Because
I like.
Immediately you're negative.
Yeah.
Because something's
and
coming.
I just, from what he said, I realized that I like to say, hey, we need to talk. And he would hear is, we're having a meeting.
And I'm in trouble.
No.
This is going to be negative.
Yeah. So we
That's weird, because that's a universal thing. Okay. I mean, Amy knows.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
I
and so how do you... Yeah, so it's really hard. Maybe that goes back to how do you start the conversations. Mm. You might want to start it if there's a lack of affirmation. Yeah.
You want to start with that.
Start with the affirmation of, hey, look, I know... I could be wrong, so I know you're a good guy. I love you, da da da. And you know, there's just something that I want to clear up. And if you say that, just something, then it means one thing, and it's a thing. It's not a judgment against you, possibly, right?
Yeah. Just to give you a bit of background, is I actually had to first deal with my own emotions because I realized that when I was not in a good space, and I went up to him and said to him, hey. I want to tell you a couple of stuff. We need to sort stuff out. He would have thought there's a meeting coming up.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna go to that meeting.
Yeah.
You're gonna say, is Marius here? No. So I know I had to first be in a better space with myself and realize just kind of first deal with my own emotions, because then it was better for me not to communicate and maybe say stupid stuff out of just the emotional place and then messed up the whole thing of just trying to get to the space where you, oh, sorry, I thought this and that's actually what was going on.
I just want to describe the room, because we're sitting in their dining room.
No, stoop.
Stoop.
Yes.
We were sitting in the stoop around a table.
Yeah.
And the moment Gilda started being honest
about
herself, the two men sat back. We leaned our chairs and went,
get ourselves comfortable.
No, you eyeballed each other.
No, we got scared. Because only women can say that.
Can say what?
That she took personal responsibility and said, I need to get my emotions under control first. So I can't just be...
But we already knew that.
Yeah.
Oh.
We didn't want... Stay disengaged, man.
Yeah, that is probably true. That there are some times that there... That's a huge thing for everyone to understand that sometimes you are the person to say things like that and sometimes you aren't.
Yeah.
And that's why listening to these podcasts and listening to someone like outside of your system, it's a good thing. Because if for Marius to say that or for Michael to say that, I mean, you're not in a good place and you're just talking out of your emotions. Oh boy, that would not have gone over.
No.
And that will kill your sexual intimacy.
Absolutely.
In the biggest way.
Because what it does is it shows, invalidating. In a way, what it does is it invalidates our feelings and our emotions, saying, well, they're out of control, or you're out of control, or you're going to, you know, it's not as that big of a deal. Yes. And when it's not that big of a deal, that invalidation, and we've shared this before, when you invalidate someone, the intensity of that emotion just goes up.
Yeah.
And so, but if we go away, we come away, we take a deep breath, we start praying about it, we start saying, okay, God, I want this to go well, and I want us to have a good relationship. I want us to reconnect. And if I want us to reconnect, I'm going to have to do my part. And that means that I need to be able to say it in a way that he can hear.
Yeah.
And for me, that was a huge thing for me to think about. How can I say things in such a way that makes it easy for you to hear and easy for you to validate me? And a part of that is, you know, going back to affirming.
If you're not, if you, and that's really the truth, if you are not emotionally connected, you are not sexually connected at all. There's like zero.
Yeah, if you don't feel loved, you're not going to want to show love.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, all right. Now, we just gave the three big, like three of the biggest killers of sexual intimacy. Now, we want to give you some tips and help on how to eliminate these big three. So, I'm going to make the listeners work for this, though, a little bit.
Okay.
So, instead of Amy and I reading these or talking about these in English, I'm going to have Marius read them in Afrikaans. And then, listeners, you're going to have to get like an Afrikaans dictionary.
Oh, wow.
Or Google Translate just to be able to understand what they are. So give us the first one, which is the obviously the negative. And then what do we do to eliminate that one?
Good luck.
I must translate it as it's not in Afrikaans.
No.
So I'm going to translate it.
Yep. That's why I say good luck. In a good way.
I don't even know what the word for validation is.
See?
Validate.
There is no word?
No, there is.
Is that why you're...
But
what's your... Then you can say that. Say how you would say it.
No, we'd say validate because with that in our English church and stuff, we'll use that in our language.
In English anyway. Well, you can do that and then say the other things.
Validation.
I don't know what that is. In
lack of affirmation is. Wow, why is this so hard?
Why are you guys failing on our podcast live?
It's okay.
All right, forget it.
Why don't you just do it if you're so clever?
All right.
There you go. Just make something up.
Freaking. No, I'm not very good at Afrikaans. So, all right. So, to eliminate invalidation, clearly you need to start validating each other.
Now, we have to add again. Does validating mean that I agree with your feelings?
No.
No, it means that I agree with your right to feel the way that you feel. And you are important to me. That's what it is. And empathize is another part of that. So part of validating someone is empathizing. It's walking a mile in someone's shoes. And it's saying, you know, you're important to me. And because you're important to me, your feelings are important to me. And I may not go through this, or I may not feel the exact same way that you do, but it's important.
Yes.
That's
and I think also something that we spoke about is Marius is a problem solver. He naturally, that's what he does. He just wants to solve a problem. So a lot of times I don't want him to fix the situation.
Right.
I really just want him to listen so it's not to, you don't have to fix anything. Basically by just sitting down and listening to me, it actually means, means that you to me, that in a sense is validation, even if you just hear me
just
out.
Just listens.
And it's important. You don't have to agree. It's okay. It doesn't mean they're correct. Doesn't mean they're right about their feelings. Doesn't mean it's fair. It is what it is. And you got to be able to acknowledge that and relax. Take a deep breath.
Yes. I have a question because I'm throwing that. Why am I thinking of the male from the male perspective? But a lot of men, the only way they feel validated is sex.
Yeah.
That's it. That's like, I don't care if you tell me how amazing I am or whatever. I just want you to have sex.
Well, because a lot of men connect emotionally through physical touch.
Okay, and so how do you balance that out? Or what would you tell a man if he's saying every conversation?
You tell him that they can have better sex.
Yes.
If they can add that to that as well.
Okay, there you go.
Very true.
Because there's a sense of if well, better sex or sex at all. Because a big piece of why she might not be wanting to have sex has to do with that she's not feeling emotionally connected. And she's feeling like all you want is that sex. I can remember I was doing an intensive, and we were talking about an issue. And then he's like, when am I going to have a turn? She doesn't ever want to have sex. And I'm like, okay, first of all, we weren't even talking about sex. That wasn't even the issue. But it was so apparent to him and so much on the forefront of his mind that it was so important to him. And so.
But what have we said on this very show before? Women, too many times, invalidate men's desire for sex as just sex. Mm. Like, they just want an orgasm. Mm. It's not. Mm-mm. That literally is the way the majority of men connect.
Yeah. So
it's different than how women.
So in this case, then, it validating a man would be for you to say, it's okay for you to want to have sex.
How and I think I understand
it,
why.
You know, and I get it. I get that you're different from me. It doesn't mean that you're a freaky weird
it's
person.
It's a great stress reliever as well. Yeah. So.
Are you feeling stressful, Marius?
Lots.
So. All right, number two.
Good.
And I'm pretty sure these two loser Afrikaans were getting like Google Translate or something.
Yeah,
you did. So the second killer was lack of affirmation. So how do you eliminate lack of affirmation? One of the simple things we do, and you can actually go to your app store of whatever device you have, whatever operating system, and look for the Smalley Marriage app. And on that app, it will actually let you do this first suggestion to overcoming lack of affirmation is you got to make a list of what you appreciate about your spouse.
A real list or a mental list?
No, an actual list. And that's what the app allows.
It translates to a mental list,
Well, no, but you need to save that list somewhere. Because here's the truth. Mm-hmm. Your spouse is both messed up and good. So yeah, there's things you could focus on that are negative. Obviously, we all have that. But the truth is that there's also good things.
Yes.
So write those good things down. Make a list. Be assertive about that and focus on the good things. And then you're going to naturally start becoming more affirming of each other and appreciating each other's differences.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because, the largest sex organ actually is your mind, is your head. Am I correct?
I don't know. I'm just really turned on right
now. My head is scary. So,
my head is so large. Unnatural.
So
should we post the picture of Marius and I in a sports store with the exact same size beanie?
I think so.
What?
Remember when the hat went over his head and over his ears and
it
didn't even...
super funny.
Yeah.
Super funny.
Mortifying.
But anyway.
There's my word.
What's on the inside is the most important.
Yeah. So if you're trying to eliminate lack of affirmation, don't wait until you feel like doing it. Because there's times where you're in a season and it's a tough season. And frankly, most things in marriage that you need to do that are positive, a lot of times you're not going to feel like doing it. Mm. And so don't wait until you feel. Do it because it's the right thing. And that's very much how Christ deals with us.
Mm.
He's like, I don't really care what other people are doing. I want you to do the right thing. And we got to do that with affirmation.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to go on the flip side. Now, there's some women that are out there that are saying, I know that I should have sex. And I know that I probably should do some of this. And God says that I should do it. And so how do they change their mindset between I have to I want to?
Wow.
Literally, that's a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. All of it, for me, love comes down to choices. And so now I might not want to, but Lord, I'm asking that I get the desire to desire sex.
Yes. And a part of it goes
And by the way, because you usually say this, but I'll just say it. This isn't a podcast for an abusive relationship.
No, absolutely.
So that we are not saying that. If your spouse is emotionally or physically abusive, we're not going, well, you just need to choose to have sex. No, that's disgusting and would be abusive of us. We're just talking about normally dysfunctional couples. Regular couples.
We're talking about maybe moms that have had a baby 2 or 3 months ago and they're still exhausted. And they might not physically, it's going
to
take them a really hard time. A long time for them to feel comfortable again or whatever. But, we've talked about, I remember a couple podcasts ago, we were talking about the crock pot versus the microwave. And women are like so if we're talking about it's the choice and we're making a list, then if we're making a list and we're thinking about those positive things, but as we're thinking about those positive things, we're thinking about, wow, that really is a turn on. Like thinking about, wow, he really did do X, Y, and Z. And those kinds of things are turn ons. And but you have to choose to let them kind of sink in and marinate.
And if you really think about it, if you know that by having sex, you actually also on an emotional level connecting with your husband, that it's not, he doesn't just see it as sex like most women actually think. So if you really like take to heart that that's his way of actually connecting on an emotional level as well, it's kind of just wait for the fruit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
that's good.
And
to wrap it up on just affirmation, remember your spouse isn't pure evil. I know they're not perfect, but they're not pure evil. And if you genuinely think they are, that you've married an evil person, you're going to have to check your negative beliefs, because the chances of that are pretty slim. Mm-hmm. So again, they might be hurting and they might be a knucklehead, but they're not evil. So there's something you can find. Yeah, there's something that you can find that's positive. And I want you to make a list and remind yourself of those things so you can be more affirming. All right, here's the third one and final. I'll just let Marius, do you have it in Afrikaans?
Yes.
The third one. Really?
So you can say it in English and then
I'll do it after you say it.
No, wait, I want to say it.
Wow.
Let's just do what you want to do.
We'll connect on a different level. Woo!
Alrighty then. Go ahead, say it.
Okay, go for it.
No, you can say the third one. This is the other. So you go.
No, Mars is going to read the third one.
Okay, read the third one.
Which one? There. Negative beliefs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to do the translation?
No, I did the others, but
really, you guys have now given a second chance at promoting
and
your
she
natural
said,
tongue.
I'll do it, and now she's...
Okay, I've got it. It's just... It's negative.
Yes.
Nice.
It just sounds a lot
negative aannames.
Negative aannames.
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 Sounds like enormous.
It can become enormous.
So, all right, if you're going to eliminate negative beliefs... You got to start with asking questions.
Vraag.
Ja.
Vraag gereeld vraag. Praat met mekaar. Sê vir mekaar, hoe gaan dit met jou?
Ask
jy
questions.
Lyk mooi. Oh, wow. Jy is amazing.
Wow, the Afrikaans is finally pouring out.
She Googled it.
No, I did not Google that.
So
in other words, you have to, in Afrikaans we say, jy moet jou maat bekragtig.
What's the translation?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
You have to validate.
Oh.
So when you and actually that word actually means a lot more. It means actually validate and empower.
Oh.
Bekrachtig. You see, Afrikaans is actually amazing.
That's a
language.
Beautiful language. Yes. Even though it sounds like gibberish. Sorry. So you ask questions because it's like, oh my gosh, Amy's mad at me. Or let's make it worse, because that can actually get annoying like it did early on in our marriage. But I really, you know, if I have a negative belief that she doesn't love me, then my responsibility is to go to her and go, look, I could be totally wrong, but I just feel like it feels like you just don't love me anymore. Is that true? There's the question.
Yeah.
And 9.5 times out of 10, it's never going to be true.
Or you could say
he doesn't care about me.
He doesn't care about me, or you know what, she doesn't like sex and she'll never have sex with me again.
Or all he wants is sex from me.
Yeah, all he wants is he doesn't really love me for me, he just loves my body just loves me that
let's
way.
Ask Marius. So Amy and I have a negative belief about you that all you want is sex from Gilda. Is that accurate?
Yes.
There's that point five.
No, it's not.
No, but curiously, as a man who was not prepped for this show in any way, and he really wasn't, So what do you mean by that? Like, what are other things that you desire or enjoy or want from the marriage other than sex?
I think that she understands if you go through things at work or you have stress at, you know, at work probably or with people or whatever, that they can, she can stand by you and go through those things with you. Mm-hmm. And not just, you know, you need to try to sort it out or whatever, but be there for you.
So you want affirmation, help. Validation.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And you also, something that Gilda is really good at, is she just has a lot of have to have around. She's fun. She makes you laugh. What? You know, that's one of her best qualities. Yeah. That she can, and you can make each other
makes
laugh.
You feel good.
And it's just there's a lightness that can, that when you're on a good footing with each other, you're good friends, and that connection in that way flows into a lot of other things. It's good.
Well, let me put a bow on this episode, and let's just thank Marius and Gilda for being a part and actually contributing really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
Woo! Yay. Our pleasure. Thanks for having us in our own home.
I know. As we
well,
wait.
If you said it wasn't good, then you just sleep outside.
I know. And it is cold here. But here's the deal. With each one of these fixes, it's going to take important choices. So stop acting like a victim in your relationship and do the right thing regardless of what your spouse is doing or whether or not they deserve your good behavior, because, you know, as a disciple of Christ, and that's who we, all the four of us, claim to be, then we know it really doesn't matter what the other person does. Jesus wants to know what I'm going to do. And so you want to fix things in your relationships. You want to fix your sexual intimacy with each other. It's going to start with some really important choices. To do the right thing.
And I think you should start sooner than later.
Yes.
Because even with us, you wait 4, 5, 6 weeks where this thing's not well, it just gets worse and worse, and you just prolong the whole thing. Yeah. Whereas if you earlier at a stage say, well, you know, let's get together, let's talk about this, you could end it much sooner.
Yeah.
Because you are going to end it. Because if you don't end it, then... You know, it's going to carry on like that.
In Afrikaans, there's a word called stilstaper.
Oh.
That is...
What is that in English?
It's like when you have like a broken TV, there's only screen.
Screen and no
but
sound.
But no sound. Oh. So you don't really talk to each other, you just see
like
each other.
We
call it the broken TV syndrome.
Yeah. Broken TV.
That's very
cool. So there's, you can only see the picture, but there's no sound.
Yeah. Well, look at that. This podcast is giving helpful advice and language lessons in Afrikaans.
Amen.